Hello, I'm John Soutsos of Investment Planning Council, Senior Financial Consultant and Branch Manager in Mississauga. Today is October 6, 2010, the second anniversary of the 2008 market meltdown precipitated by the credit crisis. Although the capital markets collapsed dramatically in the autumn of 2008, in hindsight, they actually began to decline gradually in the autumn of 2007. In fact, it is almost exactly 3 years ago today that the S&P 500 index of U.S. stocks peaked at 1,565 points on October 9, 2007. From that peak value until the absolute market bottom of 667 achieved on March 9, 2009, the U.S. market declined by a staggering 57.4%. When I recorded my first message to you on October 6, 2008, the S&P 500 had not yet completed its full decline and was at the 1,056 level, an over 32% drop from the previous year. This was enough of a decline to make most investors nauseous. Plus, given the daily stream of bad news and free fall in market valuations, I felt it was time to provide some perspective. I demonstrated in both of my two previous recordings by reading Time magazine articles on the economy from previous crisis periods that this type of event was not, in fact, unique, nor was it going to be permanent. For that matter, these crises have historically often marked the transitional phase leading to the next great economic expansion. By studying economic and market history, as well as having a sound understanding of behavioral finance, which is the study of investor psychology, I can provide you with a much better perspective of the world. Likewise, policymakers, specifically the central banks of the developed nations, headed by the United States, have also learned from historical precedent and know what measures to undertake to provide an ultimate floor to such dramatic events. Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the U.S. Central Bank, known as the Federal Reserve Board, not only has a PhD in economics, but wrote his doctoral paper on the Great Depression of the 1930s. If anybody was equipped to deal with this crisis, it was him. So let's see how things have changed over the last couple of years. How markets have performed. From 2 years ago, the Canadian stock market, as measured by the TSX Composite Index, has gained over 22%. The broad U.S. stock market, as measured by the S&P 500 index, has gained just under 10%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the measure of the 30 largest industrial companies in the United States, has gained about 12.5%. Now think back to 2 years ago, while listening to my first CD when the markets were in freefall, the media headlines were full of apocalyptic news, and you were terrified of opening your account statement. Did you for even a moment consider that just 2 short years later, the markets would be higher on average by 16%? That's an 8% annual return from a starting point of extreme pessimism and fear. From 1 year ago today, the three stock indices just mentioned, the TSX, the S&P 500, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, were all up on average by about 11%. Were you considering adding to your long-term portfolio last year at this time, or 2 years ago at this time? I know most of you weren't, because 99% of my clients did not add even a dollar at either of those 2 points. In fact, a handful of clients transferred their accounts elsewhere to avoid further market losses, a very bad decision in light of the positive market results noted during the last couple of years. There is a clear lesson here about the timing of investments into your long-term portfolio. Keep your head when all others are losing theirs, and buy when everyone else is selling. Being a contrarian is, over time, financially rewarding. Most of all, speak to me, your advisor, when you are fearful, and I will help you place events into perspective. We follow a disciplined investment process that will provide better outcomes over time. How did the council portfolios perform during the last 2 years? The council all-equity portfolio, which is 100% invested in stocks, has gained over 22% in the last 2 years and over 11% from 1 year ago. For full historical performance data, please see the sleeve of this CD. Considering that the geographic allocation for this portfolio is diversified across 4 primary regions, Canada, the US, Europe, and Asia, this is an incredible accomplishment. What is even more impressive about the performance of the all-equity portfolio is that the Canadian dollar has strengthened by 8.5% against the US dollar and 6% against the euro during the last 2 years. This has provided a stiff headwind for the money managers, but Council's currency hedging program has negated most of the currency impact. Performance of markets in Council portfolios since the market peak 3 years ago. The broad U.S. stock market, as measured by the S&P 500 index, is still about 35% below its peak value. The Canadian stock market, represented by the TSX Composite Index, is still 20% below its peak value. In contrast, the Council All Equity portfolio is just 10% below its all-time peak level. What is more interesting is that our client's most widely held portfolio, the Council Balance portfolio, has now fully recovered from the credit crisis-induced market collapse and is in fact in positive territory. This also applies to Council's other two balance portfolios, Council Regular Pay and Council Income Managed. All of these balanced portfolios also have double-digit gains since my first recording 2 years ago in the midst of the market collapse. Economic outlook. Based on my extensive meetings with multiple money managers, each with unique investment mandates, we can expect moderate economic growth going forward. The G7 countries are not expected to dip back into recession, and employment levels have slowly begun to improve. In fact, here in Canada, we have fully recovered the jobs lost during the credit crisis. Housing prices in the GTA are expected to soften and possibly decline a little once interest rates begin to revert back to normal levels. The debt problems of the G7 countries, as well as countries such as Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland, are still there. However, history has taught us that debt crises tend to take about 5 years to resolve themselves. What is lacking in economic growth in the G7 countries is being offset by the enormous growth in emerging countries such as China, India, and Brazil, among others. Demand from those countries will likely keep the global economy growing at a good pace for the foreseeable future. Stocks versus bonds. The financial upheaval caused by the credit crisis has resulted in the lowest interest rates in the last 100 years. Interest rates are unlikely to remain at current levels beyond the next couple of years. This is bad news for bonds, as bonds move inversely with interest rates. Since 1982, a period of almost 30 years, interest rates have been collapsing. This has acted as a tailwind for bond traders, providing rates of return rivaling stocks, but with much less risk. In light of the credit crisis, most Canadians have abandoned the idea of adding to their stock portfolios in favor of chasing these remarkable, historical returns in the bond market. This free ride is now over. Today, we are at a crossroad. For the first time in over 50 years, the dividend yield of stocks equals or exceeds the interest rate for 10-year bonds. Both dividend yields and 10-year Treasury bond yields are in the 2.7% range at present. In fact, there are about 20 blue-chip Canadian stocks and 14 U.S. stocks paying dividends between 3% and 5.3% per year at the present time. This means that investors today are being paid more after-tax income for owning stocks than for owning bonds. 10 years from now, bonds will mature at face value, and an investor will have received just 2.7% per year. A stock investor, by contrast, will not only have received the same or greater income return, they would also have paid less income taxes on that income. In addition, there's a strong probability that there will have been some market growth as well. In essence, for long-term investors who can stomach the potential risk, investing in a professionally managed portfolio of dividend-paying stocks over the next decade will in all likelihood be more profitable than owning bonds. Even for income investors, in retirement, a dividend solution could be a better option. Market outlook. This week, I spoke with Dan Bain, the tactical portfolio manager for the Council Income Managed Portfolio and head of Thornmark Asset Management. His expectations for the next 6 to 12 months are as follows. The income managed portfolio currently has exposure to stocks of about 62%. The maximum permitted is 75%. He goes on to say that economic fundamentals are in place for a sustainable expansion. Investor sentiment measures are still in the lower range, although not as low as at the end of August. Market valuation metrics are very appealing at 12 to 13 times forward earnings for the S&P 500. According to Dan, the S&P 500 fair value is at 15 to 16 times forward earnings. Analysts' consensus earning estimates, according to Dan, are too high at $95 per share for the 2011 earnings estimates. Thornmark is predicating all their decisions on forecasts of just $90 a share, so he's being more conservative in his outlook. What's very interesting is the $1.8 trillion U.S. dollars on the balance sheet of American companies. Dan believes that this amount will double over the next 12 months as more corporate bonds are being issued given the demand for income by baby boomers. In the third quarter of 2010 alone, there were $350 billion U.S. dollars in new debt issues. When sentiment indicators are low, as they were at the end of August, it usually results in a strong performance for the market 1 year out. Dan believes that the American stock market, as measured by the S&P 500, has more upside for the next 12 months than the Canadian market, as measured by the TSX index. Canadian market valuations are still attractive, but not as attractive as the U.S. Risk in earnings announcements this month, October, could be a little volatile. This will result in the possibility of October being a flat month. However, the November to January market should be quite strong. Quantitative easing 2, the second segment of the U.S. Central Bank providing liquidity to the banks, may or may not be implemented. Dan Bain of Thornmark doesn't believe it is necessary, as the economic fundamentals, according to his research, are already in place for the economy to strengthen. The Canadian dollar may possibly drift lower in the short term, but will strengthen thereafter and hover around parity. At present, Dan Bain has about 5% exposure of gold, but is in the process of reducing that exposure. At current gold prices, Thornmark is a seller. The need to plan financially still exists. Because of the events of the last couple of years, many investors have become fearful and have put a pause on their long-term portfolio strategy. It is important to review the suitability of your asset mixture and portfolio structure at least once per year. Some recent developments at Investment Planning Council have made some new portfolio solutions available to investors. There's the private client solution for accounts of $500,000 and higher, as well as the private wealth solution, also known as separately managed accounts, that permit investors to consolidate their external stock holdings altogether. As always, I recommend my clients divide their money into three segments: short, mid, long-term requirements. We have options for each. In the short term, as I define a 1 to 2 year period, you need to keep enough money for upcoming vacations and an emergency reserve. For the midterm, 3 to 5 years, major expenditures in the next few years, such as a car, home renovations, perhaps a big vacation, should be considered. For the long term, which I define as 6 years or longer, retirement planning, retirement income, and educational savings plans still need to be looked after. TFSAs. The banks have done an exceptional job of advertising the tax-free savings account introduced last year by the federal government. Many investors have put $10,000 into these programs over the last couple of years. However, with interest rates at historic lows, there really has been little benefit to the investor. Tax-free savings accounts are being treated as bank accounts. And in fact, the best use for tax-free savings accounts is to have them into a growth and dividend-paying program. This way, you can achieve significant growth over time with no taxation. But be careful. This is a use-it-or-lose-it proposition. A change in governance could potentially end this program. The need for estate planning is still there. The efficient transfer of wealth to the next generation, possibly to incorporate testamentary trusts for income splitting for the recipient, or insurance to offset taxes on death. It's important to also review insurance needs: life, mortgage, disability, critical illness, long-term care. Term policies may need to be converted to permanent insurance. Mortgage insurance at banks is overpriced and poorly structured. If you have insurance through the banks, it's important to discuss them with me to evaluate the pros and cons. We also need to assess the potential need for critical illness insurance. Long-term care insurance is important. The aging population means more Canadians will likely experience Alzheimer's disease. Are you financially prepared for home care or institutional care? How are we staying in touch? Watch out for our webcast and conference calls, monthly letters, the IPC Intelligent Investor Report, which comes out periodically, the quarterly IPC Advisor, and the eWealth newsletter sent by email, and of course, the annual CD. In conclusion, I would like to thank you for sticking to your program over the last few difficult years. It is easy to be negative and easy to be sucked into the vortex of negative media headlines. I encourage you to pay close attention to my letters and webcasts, as this is the best way to monitor your portfolio and other economic developments. We are hosting our third quarter market commentary and webcast conference call later this month, so please keep an eye out for the details. Remember, if you missed the live presentation, there is a replay available for up to 30 days following. As noted above, an annual meeting is the minimum requirement to ensure you're on track. If you have not reviewed your financial circumstances with me over the last 12 months, please contact my office immediately to book an appointment. We can meet either in person or by phone. Feel free to pass along this CD to a friend when you are finished with it. We would welcome your referrals. I'm John Soutsos. Thank you for listening.
To reach John Soutsos, call 905-568-2000 or toll free 1-888-568-1170. By email, jsoutsos@ipcmississauga.com or visit www.ipcmississauga.com.
Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. The indicated rates of return are historical annual compounded total returns, including changes in unit value and reinvestment of all dividends or distributions, and does not take into account sales, redemption, distribution, or optional charges or income taxes payable by any security holder that would have reduced returns. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Forward-looking statements in this commentary are not meant to imply any guarantees of future results. Complete performance history for all counsel portfolios is available at www.counselservices.com. Statistics used for this presentation were sourced at the following websites: www.globeinvestor.com and ca.finance.yahoo.com.